If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Time to catch up with Tim Wilms from the unshackled.net in Melbourne with an update on what's been happening in Australia, the lucky continent. And Tim Wilms is with us right now. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Paul. I hope you and Reality Check Radio listeners had a good Easter. Sorry, long weekend, and that you enjoyed plenty of hunting eggs, or what do they call them in the UK? A gesture eggs. And I hope on Sunday you had a great, well, it's not Easter Sunday, Trans Day of Visibility, and April Fool's Day yesterday. It was hard to tell which news was a joke and which was
serious. It kind of all blended into one. So basically, Easter as a Christian celebration is being pulled apart, buried, really, isn't it? That's what's happening.
Oh, certainly some are allergic to saying the word Easter. I first noticed the Christian erasure of Easter when there was that back in 2019, a horrific terror attack in Sri Lanka at Christian churches during Easter. And I remember it was that Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama expressed sympathy with the Easter worshippers.
Oh, the Easter worship. Not the Christian worshippers, but the Easter worshippers. Okay.
Yeah, so they still said the word Easter. A lot of people are much more allergic to it now. And though today is Cash Out Tuesday, and so you're urged to take out $20 or more to support cash disappearing from our economy and being replaced by central bank digital currency and digital ID. We had the Australian Digital ID Bill pass the Senate last week. Katie Gallagher, the finance minister, said it is voluntary and it'll actually improve privacy.
Really, will it? Oh, yeah, of course it will. I think what got people talking there was the ease at which it passed.
Well, most of the coalition senators voted against it, but there was some notable absences from the vote, such as the Liberal Senate leader, Simon Birmingham, Liberal Senator Sarah Henderson, and National Senator Bridget McKenzie, and Shadow Home Affairs Minister James Patterson. There was a yes from the Jackie Lambie network, Jackie Lambie and, well, now her ex-Jackie Lambie network senators, Tammy Tyrrell, who announced on late Thursday that Jackie Lambie had told her to quit the network, which doesn't bode well for MPs who've been elected in the Tasmanian state parliament.
Yeah, Graham Hood's not a fan of that woman, I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah, they're getting vaccinated. It was part of being a bloody Australian. It was your patriotic duty.
Okay, so the reason I said made the point that it seemed to ease on through this is the potential consequences of this digital ID are some would say very scary, potentially.
Well, we got a preview of digital ID during the COVID years with the vaccine passports and QR code check-in. Obviously, there was all state governments had their various apps which had your QR check-in and vaccine passport. New Zealand had its own there. It was all quite separated. Even though Scott Morrison said, "Oh, I didn't support vaccine mandates," he still allowed the Medicare app to connect with these state apps, so your vaccine ID would be with it. So we've had a preview of it, and so how long will it be until to open access certain services, utilities, you have to provide your digital ID, and how long until maybe that will store your credit history or that maybe credit history will expand to social credit, what you've maybe said online?
It's all possible. It's the slippery slope. The door's been open now. It's all possible. It's all doable.
Exactly. And even though most of the coalition senators voted against, it was drafted during their time in government. So we should not give them a free pass or commend them, because if Scott Morrison had been re-elected, he would have probably passed this as probably the mis and disinformation bill, which is still before the parliament.
What's the story about the e-safety commissioner, ordering or somehow wanting to order X to pull down what? What's that all about?
Pull down a transphobic post from Billboard Chris. So he is that Canadian father who travels across North America with his with a sandwich billboard with statements against the trans ideology, and not surprisingly, but of course not saying it's acceptable, he is physically attacked.
Have you seen the video of him being harangued by the man in woman's clothing who ends up hitting him?
Is there one particular one?
Well, I think it's the one doing the rounds at the moment. I think the interviewer is trying to, he's doing an interview at the time. And then the interviewer is asking him, how do you stay so calm in these situations? And he was remarkably calm, given that there was, this obvious guy in women's clothing, how they look, telling him to go beep off. And they all started chanting that. I mean, to watch it, it's like watching, like Attack of the Zombies,
Yeah, like the local Transtifa in Melbourne last week. They were busy doing their long weekend worship at the Marxism conference.
What's she doing, the safety commissioner, sticking up for these obviously insane people?
So Julie Inman Grant is the e-safety commissioner who, before the Morrison government lost the election, was appointed to another 5-year term. The e-safety commission was created under the previous coalition government. So this is their creation. So if I haven't heard many MPs criticising the e-safety commissioner of late, because, they're the ones that, they're the ones that have empowered her.
It'd be too dangerous to do that, wouldn't it? It could blow back.
In my opinion, Julie Inman Grant, she's got mad with power. So the post that she ordered X takedown of Billboard Chris was, this woman, yes, she's female, is part of a panel of 20 experts hired by The Who to draft their policy on caring for trans people. People who belong in psychiatric wards are writing the guidelines for people who belong in psychiatric wards. And it was a link to a Daily Mail article which said, kinky secrets of UN trans expert reveal bondage, bestiality and drugs. Sure. And so, according to the e-safety commissioner, the reason why it needed to be removed is that an ordinary, reasonable person would conclude that it's likely the material is intended to cause serious harm to the complainant. So somebody complained. This is because the material misgenders the complainant and reiterates that this point is deliberate, which is likely intended to invalidate and mock the complainant's gender ideology.
Wait, no, he said that they belonged in a psychiatric hospital. Surely that's more insulting than misgendering.
I'll get to this part. The material also contains a statement that implicitly equates transgender ideology with a psychiatric condition. This statement is deliberately degrading and suggests that all transgender...
Well, I think that's pretty well substantiated. So,
and in this case, the complainant in particular have something that is wrong about their psychology owing to their gender ideology.
The fact that this UN panelist is
involved in bondage, bestiality, and drugs. I mean,
that's normal, right? That's normal.
He was clearly saying Billboard Chris about that particular trans person.
So will X listen? I mean, does this person have any power at all?
So X is appealing this decision. Last year, X ordered that all links to a Redux magazine article, which is a TERF, a online publication, that all links be taken down to their article about thousands of complaints filed after trans YouTuber allowed to play on Women's Football League reportedly injured players. And this is one of the original social justice warrior trans YouTubers, Riley Dennis, who now lives in Australia with her wife.
Well, he's a guy who says he's a woman but has a female wife.
Yes, so lesbian.
So what does that make him?
I guess, we're supposed to, according to the eSafety Commissioner, say that Riley Dennis is a woman and I guess in a lesbian marriage.
If I was a real lesbian, I'd be hitting the roof over that.
I'd like to know the biological women who are with these trans women, lesbians, what they consider themselves.
I think that they are part of the need help, you know.
Yeah, so the EC commissioner ordered that all links to this article be taken down, otherwise Redux would be violating Australian law. And also, Riley Dennis took out two apprehended violence orders against the director of Binary Australia, Kiralee Smith, for urging women to complain that there's a trans woman, biological male, allowed to play.
How could that be violent?
Because apprehended violence orders in Australia are now a political weapon. If somebody is criticising you online, you just go to the police and say, I fear for my safety. And so it comes into effect immediately. And so Kiralee Smith, she had to hire legal counsel to lift these AVOs. So
it's lawfare.
Lawfare. It's a new lawfare in Australia. Obviously, most people would believe that these should only be for ex-partners who fear for their safety, but they've been...
Why? I don't know. You don't have to answer, but these people are so indulged.
Well, you would probably know we don't live in, a just society. I mean, there's selective policing. There is selective prosecution.
But of all things...
I'm just talking
I'm not having a debate with you, but I get all that. But I mean, over here, you've got the police trying to find out who painted over crossings where, you know, murders of babies and young people aren't maybe being properly investigated, or gangs aren't being kept under control. There are all sorts of other issues. And, you know, everywhere it seems that, and no one wants to see anyone suffer, but this group gets such preference.
And it's a legitimate criticism, you would say, point issue that trans women, biological men, because Riley Dennis, transitioned as an adult, still has
all the bits, right?
Well, has went through puberty as a biological male, so has.
Yeah. I mean, it's a farce. It's just. And can't do the fantasy, guys. Can't be part of it. But you know, when painting over a pedestrian crossing is a hate crime, you know.
Well, one that could potentially confuse pedestrians and cars alike.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Now, well, that's interesting.
So going back to our eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman Grant. So she got extra powers with the passing of the Online Safety Act under the Morrison government. Yeah. And she's mainly been using them against Twitter X, who she used to work for 10 years ago.
Is that a vendetta because it's under new management?
It would seem so. So she's threatened to fine last year Twitter $687,000 per day because they didn't send her information to satisfy her that they were taking online safety.
It's always a woman, isn't it? Sorry,
she's a regular attendee at the World Economic Forum conferences in Davos. She's on their Global Coalition for Digital Safety, and she said there needs to be a recalibration of rights, needing to balance the right to free speech with the freedom to be safe from online violence.
Okay. All right. Moving along, Alice Springs mass riot. We had one in one of our towns. A couple of people got killed a weekend or two ago. But this sounds bigger. What happened here in Alice Springs?
Well, thankfully, there was no deaths, but there was a riot in the Alice Springs CBD last Tuesday. And so it occurred after the funeral for an 18-year-old Indigenous man who died when he was a passenger in a stolen ute, which crashed in the CBD. He died. The others fled the scene. They just left their mate to die there.
Oh, dear. Yep.
And after their funeral, some other members of the family who the family attending the funeral had issues with, they were in this place, the Todd Tavern, and there is this there's this thing in traditional Aboriginal culture called payback, to settle a grievance, well, basically with violence. And so this Todd Tavern was smashed with various weapons that the people outside had gathered. There was 200, a mob in the CBD.
Wow.
The police in the aftermath seized 50 weapons. There was $30,000 worth of damage to the Todd Tavern. And then the payback riot continued out in this town camp called Hidden Valley. And so there was 150 people involved in that. There was things set on fire in the town camp. Only 8 arrests have been made so far. So as a result, the Northern Territory Chief Minister, who is the third Chief Minister in 2 years, Eva Lawler, because you remember during the COVID lockdowns, the Chief Minister was crazy eyes Michael Gunn.
Yeah, what happened to him?
He resigned to spend more time with his family.
Oh.
And his replacement, Natasha Files, she resigned over a shareholding that she didn't declare, though. Right. The current deputy premier chief minister of the Northern Territory, Chancey Peach, he's the minister for Indigenous Affairs. He held shares in an alcohol company, and a lot of what has led to this violence in
alcohol. Yeah,
is the lifting of alcohol restrictions. So, Eva Lawler, she has announced a 2-week circuit breaker youth curfew. So,
circuit breaker youth curfew, is that kind of some technical description?
Oh, it's given us Victorians lockdown PTSD from our Dan Andrews curfews. And also we were told that by Dan Andrews, this is only a circuit breaker lockdown for a week, and then a week becomes 2 weeks, a month,
several months. The longest in history,
But obviously, Alice, the town of Alice Springs, according to the mayor, he said that this is the worst of violence that he has ever seen. And the Country Liberal Party Senator Jacinta Price, who used to be the deputy mayor of Alice Springs, called for the ADF, or the Australian Federal Police, to come. That is the Mayor Matt Patterson. He wanted the Federal Police there, but not the ADF. So any, so it runs from this basically the school holidays. So any youth who's caught out from out past 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Will either be taken home, or if home's not safe, to a safe location. But obviously there's going to be a lot of young people who are going to be asked for their papers, please, which again, lockdown PTSD for us in Victoria. They have what are called the police auxiliary liquor inspectors. So, right, well, you wouldn't, it'd be totally unfair for liquor store employees to enforce alcohol restrictions. There was a BWS worker in Darwin last year who was stabbed to death. So there's these police auxiliary liquor inspectors who they're to enforce alcohol restrictions in town camps. YouTuber Spanian, who's an ex-criminal, he goes to Australia and the world's most dangerous towns and cities. And so he went to Alice Springs during a Saturday for a day and night. It goes for an hour. It's nearly got 3 million views. Spanian initially went viral for saying that pedophiles were hiding behind the rainbow flag, and he got his book deal cancelled, which he which he said he was sorry for absolutely nothing that he said, so he doubled down. Liquor cops, they ask people, oh, what's your reason for buying? Are you going to share it with anyone? And so there's going to be a few more of those deployed to the Alice Springs CBD. It is Australia's most dangerous city. And a lot of towns where there is a substantial Indigenous population are becoming more dangerous. So I mentioned Darwin there, that is being plagued by crime as well. We covered Broome, where that man was charged for cable tying those Aboriginal kids who'd jumped in a pool. And then there is also Moree in New South Wales, Toowoomba in Queensland, and also Townsville in Queensland. But all of this would have been cured if Australia had passed the Voice referendum last year.
Just a great opportunity there. Sorry.
I know. All of these youth crime issues, alcohol issues would have been completely fixed. And it would also have meant that racism was completely cured. And there wouldn't have been a driver in Melbourne going past ex-AFL footballers Eddie Betts' house and yelling the N-word repeatedly while some of his children and nephews played in the backyard. Eddie Betts, he has become a activist in his a retirement, which all seemed to begin when he was playing for the Adelaide Crows. A Port Adelaide supporter threw a banana at him.
I remember that one. Yep.
And so since then, he has claimed that he experienced racial discrimination at a pool with his children. A lifeguard told him to get out because he was making elderly people, their grandchild, feel uncomfortable, and also accused the Adelaide Crows of running in 2019 a culturally insensitive pre-season camp. He backed the Voice. Anthony Albanese had a selfie with him at the grand final saying, vote for it because Eddie Betts says.
Right.
And obviously the guy that drove past, I mean, he's got issues to just yell that out. I'm not sure if he knew that was Eddie Betts's house. He lives in Glen Iris in Melbourne, which is an affluent suburb. So he's done all right for himself, despite saying that he's faced
been disadvantaged. Yes.
And he's also a paid commentator for Fox Footy. And before he they got into the football coverage, he said that this will stay with my me and my children for the rest of our lives. They don't feel safe in their own home because they're playing basketball out the front. They're scared to go out and play again. It was called a verbal assault.
Words of violence again. I mean, no one should be doing that. Okay, so that's outrageous behavior, but you gotta have a bit of resilience as well, right? So,
I mean, there's Melbourne residents who don't feel safe in their homes because of home invaders and carjackers.
Yeah. All right, let's finish up on this. A correction from the ABC regarding what?
Regarding an interview that ABC 7:30 host Sarah Ferguson did with Victorian Liberal leader John Pesciuto when he launched his campaign to expel Moira Deeming from the Liberal Party room for attending Kelly J. Keene's Let Women Speak event, the infamous one in March 2023, where the National Socialist Network it turned up. So they said some viewers may have understood the interview suggests that Kelly J. Keene, who was not named in the interview, who organised the Melbourne Let Women Speak event, has associations with neo-Nazis. The ABC understands Ms. Keene denies any associations with neo-Nazis. The ABC does not endorse any imputation that may have been conveyed to that effect.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a bit of a wind your neck. And the new head of the ABC has come out staunchly, hasn't he, and warned his journalistic staff that there's no tolerance of any kind of leanings anymore.
He's an ex-News Corp CEO, which, of course, Albanese appointing him to the ABC didn't go down well with the ABC loveys.
No, the loveys wouldn't
married
like
to Gough Whitlam's daughter. So there is a Labor connection there, but he's no shill or there to be a stooge, but as chairman of the ABC board, he still has limited power because the ABC is run by the staff collective.
Yeah,
It's basically there's various chairs of the ABC board and members of the board have tried to change it over the year with no luck. I mentioned a couple of shows ago that John Pesciuto may face a leadership spill because he is refusing to settle his defamation suit brought against him by Moira Deeming. And of course, Kelly J. Keene and Angie Jones have issued defamation concerns notice. So that is for September. There's been no leadership spill because he still enjoys the numbers in the party room.
Right. And I take it that the ABC probably did create the impression that there was an association.
Sounds like they received
in their reporting
a legal letter for them to put something like that out. John Pesciuto, there's footage of him, one of Angie Jones, her fellow TERFs filmed herself delivering the concerns notice to John Pesciuto at Parliament. And he said, I'm not taking it because my lawyers have already got it. So I'm a lawyer. I know how this works. This is just
not another lawyer politician, oh dear.
Yes. He's a lawyer. He would have thought he would do his due diligence before making all of the statements that he did about Kelly J. Keene.
Well, they're so arrogant. They think they know it all, you see.
And he prepared a dossier for the case to expel Moira Deeming from the Liberal Party room, which a lot of people disputed what was in there.
All right, we'll see how that one plays out. Never a dull moment. Thank you, Tim Wilms from theunshackled.net for reporting in yet again. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Next up, we have got Anzac Day, our next national days, but I'm sure that we'll hear about attempts to cancel that in the coming weeks as well.
Do you think there are any transgender soldiers fighting in the Second World War?
Well, I know that Australia does have trans in the ADF now. I don't think in the Second World War.
No. They wouldn't have had, like a early 1900s version of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Well, who knows? The historians might dig up one.
All right. We'll talk again in about a week. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Paul.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.